from KQED.
From KQED News, I'm Rachel Miro. The new television documentary series Soundbreaking explores the breakthroughs that changed music recording through the decades. The Bay Area had no small part in that process, as home to pioneers like Ray Dolby, who brought us cleaner sound, and Don Buchla, who helped launch the age of electronic synthesizers. KQED science editor Craig Miller introduces us to one chapter in the annals of electronica that might surprise you.
For nearly five decades, Bernie Krause has spent much of his life in remote parts of the world, recording the music of nature. He's established himself as the dean of the emerging field of soundscape ecology. But recently, at his home in Sonoma County, I asked him to blow the dust off his vinyl collection, literally, and drop a needle on a record he hadn't played in years, one of his own.
This is a piece called Piece 3. And it was the first thing that we actually did on synthesizer, first piece of music we ever tried.
In fact, it was one of the first anyone had tried with the first generation of electronic synthesizers. Krause, now 77, and his music partner, Paul Beaver, turned out to be pioneers in the music form we now call electronica.
Actually, this one's done in 1967. Just after we got our synthesizer.
Robert Moog had barely rolled out his first electronic synths, unwieldy modules that looked more like telephone switchboards than musical instruments. But by manipulating the voltage and other factors that shape sound waves, these boxes could produce literally unheard of effects.
Every time that we patched the cord in from one hole to another, we got a result that was intriguing, in some cases, really pretty incredible.
Beaver and Krause, then an underemployed session guitarist, scraped together $15,000 to buy their own Moog, but converts were hard to come by.
We tried every single producer in Hollywood and record company.
No takers.
We had 100 rejections.
Until...
Monterey is very groovy, man.
The breakthrough came at the legendary Monterey Pop Festival in 1967, when the two used the last of their savings to set up a demo booth for their synth. The big-name artists and producers there were wowed.
I think that maybe I'm dreaming.
Beaver and Krause soon had their own recording contract with Warner Brothers' Nonesuch label. Synths were so new, though, that that first LP was actually billed as a guide to electronic music, complete with instruction manual. Soon, synthesized recordings like Wendy Carlos' Switched On Bach were charting and getting radio airplay, but Beaver and Krause stayed true to their vision, which was more about art than commerce.
Beaver and Krause operated on the margins of the recording industry.
Joel Selvin was the San Francisco Chronicle's pop music critic during the synth's early years.
Their records were experimental, not classifiable, not geared for radio airplay.
Take In a Wild Sanctuary, the 1970s album that combined two polar opposites, totally synthesized music and actual nature recordings.
It was the first album on the theme of ecology, and the first album ever to use natural soundscapes as a component of the orchestration, so which meant that Paul and I had to go out into the field and record some sound.
Krause headed for the redwood groves of Muir Woods with his microphones, and there, he discovered his ultimate passion, recording natural soundscapes and assessing their role in the ecosystem. But he had to make a living, so he went to work behind the scenes doing synthesizer sessions for A-list recording artists from the Byrds and Beatles to Frank Zappa. When Jim Morrison decided to alter his voice on the Doors' second album, Strange Days, that was Krause running his voice through a synth.
Strange days,
these were strange days in the studio, too, and suddenly the pop world was ready for the synthesizer.
It was such a time for pop music that it was a wide-open playground for new ideas, and it did get rapidly accepted. But, of course, they just left Beaver and Krause behind.
Well, not entirely. You can still hear echoes of Krauss's early work in classic and cult films, too. Listen to this track from a Krauss solo album in 1979. Those pulses that sound like helicopters would soon make their way into theaters, where they set the signature scene from Francis Ford Coppola's Vietnam War epic, Apocalypse Now. It was the last of more than 100 films that bear Krauss's fingerprints. Paul Beaver died while performing on stage in 1975, and Krauss soon became exasperated with Hollywood. He went back to school, got his doctorate, and has devoted the rest of his life to the great Animal Orchestra, as his recent book is entitled.
I don't know that it's a paradox. It's a yin and yang.
To critic Joel Selvin, it just completes the circle, since Krauss started his journey with the most synthetic of sounds.
Wouldn't that be the ideal person to understand those that are completely unmanufactured and entirely native?
But Krauss didn't leave his music behind. He just found it in new places. On a whim in 1988, he couldn't resist producing an album of music composed entirely of animal and nature sounds. This is part of it. He called it Gorillas in the Mix. I'm Craig Miller, KQED News.
Support for KQED Science is provided by the S.D. Bechtel Jr. Foundation, Hope Lab, and the Dirk and Charlene Capsonel Foundation.